This is Snake, and you're listening to the 8-Bit Geek Podcast. So pay some damn attention.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Kevin here, and I'm here with the 8-Bit crew, Jeremy and Doug.
What up, what up?
And yo, Doug, you want to say
fucked
something?
Up already.
You're fucked up. All I was doing was saying hi.
I had one job. So, also joined with us today, we have a pretty awesome guest. He's responsible for some great indie slasher and horror films, along with the, you know, a Power Ranger inspired tokusatsu film. I said that right?
Yes, you did.
Yes. He's got an upcoming film called The Survivors, which is on Indiegogo right now. Please welcome Mr. Steve Rudzinski. How you doing, Steve?
Yay.
Man, you build me up like way too big. Like, yeah. It's all downhill from here.
Yes. Well, at least I started from a high point there, so we can only go down.
Super high, right at the beginning, man. That intro was...
The whole point is just to grab the audience, and we've done that.
Perfect.
We do that on a weekly basis. We start from the top and just go straight down.
It's a reverse Drake song.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first question I had about you, so, I mean, because we want to get this started with the Indiegogo campaign, how did you come up with the concept for The Survivors?
Well, The Survivors is a film that I've been building up to for the past 5 years in all of my other films. It started off in The Slasher Hunter, which was my first, like, official, like, real movie with Silver Spotlight Films and all that jazz. Came out in January 2011, and that introduced The Slasher Hunters, which is this organization that is literally paid by the government to kill slashers in this world where they all exist, and it's a totally everyday thing that everyone expects. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I mean, I've watched all your films, and it's great because you have these after credit of, like, things like a Marvel movie would have, and it all kind of, like, it seems like The Survivors is kind of the lead-up to all of that.
That's exactly what it is, you know? Then followed up after Slasher Hunter was Everyone Must Die, you know, that's slasher comedy, and the post-credit scene was the first time when we had the crossover, and Chief Winslow from The Slasher Hunters invited the last survivor from the film to join the team. Then, at the end of Captain Z and the Terror of Leviathan, Chief Winslow meets up with Captain Z to invite him to the survivors. And there was that short, The Killer, which featured just one of the killers from Everyone Must Die getting killed by the Slasher Hunter. And the last one was the post-credit scene of Red Christmas had a killer showing up to invite Tara to join the killers, but she was already dead.
Oh, nice.
I have a quick question here
in the Survivors, which is a team movie, but also it's a sequel to The Slasher Hunter and Everyone Must Die.
Quick question. Oh, so good. But do you have to have any knowledge of the previous films in order to get what's going on in The Survivors?
I feel that if there's any required watching for The Survivors, it would only be The Slasher Hunter. Because that is mostly a sequel to The Slasher Hunter featuring characters from other films, and a conclusion to the killer storyline, but the only character from Everyone Must Die is Will, who is kind of a minor character anyway, so you're not missing much with that.
I love in Slasher Hunter, too. You played Frank, didn't you? Yeah, you had kind of a Freddy Krueger persona going on.
Absolutely. I've always loved Freddy, and whenever I lived in Jersey or I lived in California, one of my favorite games was Freddy Passes Prime, which was you do a Freddy impersonation, but you say something that is not threatening at all and followed with laughter.
I need an example.
Okay, I'll give you two. I'll give you one that's Freddy, like, not quite past his prime. More like Freddy off his game, and then I'll give you Freddy past his prime. So, to get into the character for Frank, I always whip out a, Martin Luther King had a dream, but you're gonna have a nightmare! I'm just kidding, segregation was terrible.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Or Freddy, full-blown past his prime, is, are you at school tomorrow and I'm cutting up your homework? Freddy, that's my sister's homework. But you love your sister, so now you're sad!
It's good stuff.
That seems like the only thing you have to add to it is pretty much Freddy saying bitch at the end for every time.
I like to make it, like, way worse. Like, nice shoes, faggot! Like, whoa, Freddy, Jesus.
Freddy jumping on the hate train.
It's 2015, you can't talk like that anymore.
I died in, like, the 60s, I don't know what you want.
I'm not going to give in to your millennial ways. Oh, man.
And
yeah,
so why...
I got to meet... him, and he still scares the hell out of me, but he's the nicest guy ever, Robert Englund. God. I met him last year at Alamo City Comic Con, or 2 years ago, I guess, when we went. Super nice guy.
That's about a year ago, almost exactly.
Yeah.
Robert Englund is one of the few guys that I really look up to that I've both never worked with and also have never met that I really want to. I hit up all the other ones. Like, I'm friends with the guy who played Leslie Vernon. I'm real good friends with Kane Hodder. Doug Bradley and I get lunch once in a while. Doug Bradley was Pinhead from the Hellraiser movies.
Nice.
And it's like, I know all these other horror legends, but my God, my icon is elusive to me.
I can't believe he hasn't been on, like, you know, basically working a con near you or anything like that.
I think he hit a Monster Mania up once, but Monster Mania is so far out of the way and costs so much, and I usually have something going on the same weekend anyway.
Cool. Yeah.
You wouldn't let us take pictures of him. You were allowed to meet him, but we got close with cameras, and his assistant was like, no.
Yeah, that's an agent thing. Like, I hung out with Andrew Gower, who I'm doing terrible with his character name, but he's from Monster Squad.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be on our watch list this week. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I always forget his character name, but he has my favorite line in the movie, which is talking about the werewolves' fucking nads. It's a great
werewolves
line.
Got nads.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
Sean.
Thank you. Yeah, Sean.
Yeah.
Wolfman's got nards. That's what the line was.
Nards. Yeah. My booth was right next to Andre, and he talked about how his agent was really pushing him that he had to charge for pictures separately from the autographs. It was a bummer, and he didn't like doing it, but it was just something that he pushed. And honestly, he bent the rules quite a few times, best he could.
But we're press. I have a press badge. Let me get a fucking picture, man.
Yeah, we're not like jumping into the pictures. We just wanted to like just basically get him something. It's like something candid, you know. But it was cool because he did one of the days he actually dressed up as Freddy, which is unbelievable.
No, he didn't. So. Did he?
Yeah.
What, was that? Yeah. Was that at Alamo City?
That might have been a different con.
Oh, okay. Most definitely was. Not at Alamo City.
Which one was that? It was in Chicago.
Damn it.
That was a horror convention in Chicago. And he also did it one more time in the UK since for the overseas fans.
Oh, good deal.
And he's never going to wear the makeup again. But money talks.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, money talks, and hopefully if they do a remake like with him.
I saw a quote from him today saying that he's not involved in the remake or whatever's happening, the reboot.
No, yeah, he did say that he is never going to play Freddy again.
Ah, that's a bummer.
But like you said, money talks, so we'll see.
They offer him enough.
Never say never.
Never say never,
Never say never, bitch.
Ben. So are you like, okay, so you've been making movies for a very long time, since you were like, what, 16, I believe?
I mean, if you want to call those movies, sure.
You've been making films.
Let's at least be semi-fair and say like 18, 19. Let's say 19.
Okay. Now, while you were doing it, like, I mean, has it become easier or harder, especially with technology being the way it is, to where almost anyone can get, like, a very HD quality film? Like, has that made it easier for you?
It's a blessing and a curse. It's fantastic because, I mean, even when I was making The Slasher Hunter, that was 2011. When I was making The Slasher Hunter, I was shooting that on a Panasonic DVX-100B, which at the time was pretty much the top-of-the-line prosumer standard definition camera. I spent $2,500 on that camera, and that was a deal. It was amazing quality, looked fantastic, shot in a great widescreen, shot in 24p, it was a great camera. And now I shoot in full HD on a camera that cost me $600.
Yeah.
Granted, the lenses are also expensive, and that's where the money goes, but still, that has changeable lenses. You know, the Panasonic didn't. So I'm able to make, really theater quality films. I mean, if you had seen Captain Z on the big screen, it looks just like a studio film. A small studio, but a studio film. But on the flip side, everyone else can do that too, so it makes selling everything harder. Mm-hmm. It makes, distributors much less likely to give you money or much less likely to pick up films because there's so many of them. It makes it harder to, push something on YouTube or, Super Task Force, which I'm very proud of, sold really well for a little bit and hit really, really, really well with the niche crowd that loves Tokusatsu and Super Sentai and Power Rangers, but pushing it past that was almost impossible. It was to the point where months after I released the DVD and sold it, almost a year later, I put it online for free because everyone was like, hey, just put it online for free. Everyone will watch it. And the episode one has the most views at like 2,000 views.
That's awesome.
And all these people just keep on saying like, hey, you should make a sequel. I'm like, I'm still in the red on this. Yeah. Like, So well, it's a blessing and a curse.
Like you were kind of like leading into something. Lately, you just shot a video for like a Power Rangers RPM kind of tribute little video, like a little short. Like what made you want to do that?
Well, there's this company, not a company, it's literally just one dude named Aniki or Aniki, or whatever, some weird weeboo name. He is the top tier when it comes to making Super Sentai and Power Ranger suits. He makes the suits and the helmets both for really high quality, and he costs a lot of money, which most people agree is worth the money, but he takes, like, if you order something now, it will take you minimum 9 months to get it, and that's if you're really lucky. Because it's literally just one dude, he makes everything, and then he ships, like, all the suits at once to save on shipping or whatever. But I saw a post that he had, like, 5 already made suits that weren't sold because the people that wanted them just backed out of the deal. So they were pre-made, I would have gotten it in a month, and one of the suits was my favorite ranger from the American series, Ziggy, the green RPM ranger, for only, like, $650. So I jumped on that. And then I kind of made the short film to justify me owning this suit.
There you go.
And also, there's a bunch of Mighty Morphin fan films and no fan films for any other Power Ranger series. So I wanted to give RPM some love.
Nice, nice. Speaking of like suits and everything, man, you got a really badass Spider-Man suit. Talk about that one there.
Oh, thank you. That one is a movie suit. Made that myself. My fiance, nice. Aline Isley, did the sewing, though, because I cannot sew. And then we got my one of my makeup friends to do the rubber mold for the spider and help me with the rubber molds around the scuba lenses for the eyes. And then we drew all those webs on by hand with fabric paint, which took so long. But now if one breaks, it takes 5 seconds to repair it. Whereas if you went with like the same Rami Tobey Maguire like rubber webbing, if one of those screwed, you have to replace the whole thing. So to me, this was worth it. Now, but it was definitely a movie quality suit, and I completely based it off Amazing Spider-Man 2, because that's my favorite Spider-Man movie. I'm sorry, Internet. I understand I'm literally the same level as Hitler.
Kevin may just walk out right now.
Yeah.
No, he was behind.
He hates everything. So.
No, I was behind Amazing Spider-Man 2. You guys remember that. I don't know if you guys were against it or not, but I remember going to see it like opening weekend, and I actually liked it a lot.
We were for sure against it.
I remember I saw it not expecting much, because I wasn't a big fan of like the other Marvel films that have been out that year. Amazing Spider-Man 1 was like okay, it was fun, but it was okay. Mm-hmm. And I walked out and I was just talking to my fiance. I was just like, I loved that. It was so good. It did everything right. It made me feel like a kid again, and I can't wait to see what's next. I can't wait to go home and go on the internet and share with everyone how much I like this movie. That was a mistake.
And they finally killed Gwen Stacy.
And it was a great, that scene breaks my heart. And yes, the visualizations are hammy and over the top, but it still works for me. Mm-hmm. Seeing the web turn into a hand broke my heart. And the fact that the whole theme of the movie is Peter fighting time, and the climax is literally in a clock tower when he's literally fighting time to save Gwen Stacy's life. It was beautiful. It was a perfect way to kill Gwen.
Do you guys follow, I know, Kevin, I think, Jeremy, do you guys follow, was it Superhero Feed? Facebook and Twitter?
Dude, I think so.
They post so many, like, Gwen Stacy dying jokes. It's so freaking funny. I highly recommend it, because like people will tweet them jokes and they'll like share them, and they're so freaking terrible
and they're still going.
It's
on
so funny.
Emma Stone though is she did a much better job than goddess. You know, having MJ in the universe, like I think
it's really funny because I'm sorry
go ahead.
Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst were really dating when they were making the Spider-Man films during their time. And they had horrible chemistry, and I hated them both, and they were completely awkward in every scene that they had together. And then Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone were really dating, and they were adorable.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what a teenage relationship is.
I am 100% behind, and they've talked about maybe expanding the Spider-Man universe now that it's under, like, Marvel and stuff.
Yep, and we own that now. Disney owns that.
Yeah, I would love to see a Spider Gwen, and I would love for them to get her back.
Yeah,
do a Spider Gwen movie with her as
Emma Stone.
Oh my god, yes, amazing.
I would love for them just to reset. Yeah, reset that she died, because it's just, you know, it's ridiculous, especially now that it seems like with the new Spider-Man appearance, it's going to be a much younger Spider-Man, but it's not going to be Ultimate Spider-Man. So it's kind of weird. Kind of throws me off about that.
He's like 15. It's supposed to be 15.
Yeah, and you would think that was the Ultimate Spider-Man was. Like, he was the younger version.
So. Well, the MCU is clearly much more like the Ultimate Universe in a lot of ways. So I think he's going to be a lot like the Ultimate Spider-Man anyway.
Yeah.
So you said that you have some ties to Marvel. What's going on there?
I am Spider-Man. Literally. I work for Marvel Live Appearance. I get flown all over the world to do shows and meet kids as Spider-Man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so whenever you see Spidey in real life, there's a decent chance that it's me. I mean, there's 25 of us actors, but that's 25 for the whole world, and I'm their top Spidey. They even record my voice for all the shows. So in the off chance that someone else is doing a show, like, in a city during a weekend, I can't do it, they're just acting to my voice.
They're just kind of mimicking, like doing the emotes?
Yeah, because we pre-record the masked characters just to make it easier, because it's harder for us to breathe, and it's easier for us to become out of breath. Versus the like Cap, Captain America, and Thor would have to speak their lines live on stage. So it's most of the time, actually, our voice is just pre-recorded.
That's pretty awesome.
So the Spider-Man suit that you have, is that yours, or is that the one? Is that the one you wear?
The movie while doing this? The movie quality one is mine. I wear that to conventions. I make like little like just guest appearances at like children's hospitals and stuff in the area, just because I'm a cool guy.
That's awesome.
And I just, I post a lot of pictures of myself because I look fantastic and I like attention from the ladies. Can't tell you how many touches I get at Comic Cons.
Ooh, naughty ones?
Yeah, naughty ones. No. Seriously, it is so easy for me to have sex at Comic Cons.
Please dive deep into that.
Well, you got his attention.
The Marvel suit is more based on the comic book. So it's more cartoony. It looks still looks good, but it looks different.
Right.
So that's the one that Marvel sends me to wear, and I have kind of my own, and sometimes I like trade it out and get a fresher one or what have you. But so the movie suit that I post a lot of isn't Marvel's, but I have two.
Nice.
But it's interesting, because Marvel, even before they bought the rights back for Spider-Man, Marvel and Sony had so many deals in place, we actually have used the Amazing Spider-Man 2 suit for Disney appearances.
Huh.
That's suit, gotta be amazing. That suit was at Disneyland Paris when Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out, which I thought was really cool.
That is pretty cool.
So you're like, I have been in the same suit as Andrew Garfield.
Not quite. There, I hope I can say this, Disney's Amazing Spider-Man 2 suit is worse than my Amazing Spider-Man 2 suit. And don't get me wrong, Disney made a lot of things better when they bought the company. The Iron Man suit before Disney, holy shit.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Now the suit, it looks like it's from Iron Man 2. It's the diamond. It's the Mark VI.
Oh, cool.
And it looks fantastic. I mean, it's heavy and it's cumbersome, but it looks fantastic. And the new Hulk suit looks great. And everyone's suits look great now. But just, there's a couple suits that I feel that they could pick up the quality on if they really wanted to. Because they got the money.
Mm. Oh, man. That's super cool. You go into the hospitals and everything like that, too. Like, going to visit kids. Mm-hmm. You got to light up their days, man.
It's really, it's such a great gig. I get flown all around the world. I get treated like a super celebrity. And I make children's dreams come true. And I get paid a lot of money.
And and Comic-Con women's dreams come true, too.
Oh, yes, yeah. Of course.
Oh, man.
Speaking of money, you are on, so you're doing Indiegogo. Why'd you choose Indiegogo for this project versus like doing a, what the hell is the other name called?
Kickstarter. GoFundMe.
Yeah, GoFundMe I don't use because I feel that's more of a personal thing. That GoFundMe strikes me more as a, hey guys, I just found out I need to get 8 root canals. Can my friends help me? versus actual like projects and stuff, or like helping for a wedding, stuff like that. Kickstarter is an option and it's fine, but I've personally had more success with GoFundMe, and also personally I feel like GoFundMe is a better home for independent films. I see a lot more independent films on GoFundMe, so that means there's a lot more people that are willing to support independent films on GoFundMe.
You mean Indiegogo?
I meant to say Indiegogo, yes.
Yeah, I had to think about that for a second.
My bad, yeah. Indiegogo, there's a lot of indie films on there, so that audience is already there. I think it's easier, and I think the word spreads out a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Indiegogo actually has a deal with Indie Rain, which is this, it's basically a streaming online thing that we, the filmmakers, are in charge of. So I put Super Task Force up on Indie Rain, and I set the price, and I get half the profits, and that's it. Like,
that's
it's
awesome.
That simple. So, you know, you bypass having to deal with distributors, you bypass Netflix, you don't have to pay $300 up front like you do with Vimeo. Mm-hmm. So if something succeeds on Indiegogo, And then you put it on Indie Rain, they feature it, so that way more people can see it as well.
Nice.
And how can people find you on Indiegogo? What's the link to it? What's the
The specific link, I don't remember offhand, because whenever I try to search for it as the Survivors, there's apparently a few titles entitled that. So right now, I would say definitely the best way to find it is go to facebook.com/silverspotlightfilms, and the very top link is the Indiegogo.
Awesome.
Excellent.
I literally think it's like indiegogo.com/project/the-survivors, but then it's like -2, because there's another project called The Survivors, which is completely unrelated to mine.
What, do people still get reward? I'm pretty new to the whole Indiegogo thing, so I don't know if it's like, I've usually used Kickstarter in the past, so like, do they still get rewards and things like that for donating?
Yeah. So Indiegogo is literally exactly the same as Kickstarter in terms of tiers.
I see. So what are some of the rewards that you're giving away for people for back in your project?
With The Survivors, I'm keeping it very simple. I'm not even doing rewards, really. I'm treating it as more of just a pre-order campaign, because also with Indiegogo, if I don't reach goal, I can still get a chunk of the money. And this is a movie that's coming out no matter what. So like, if I fail, the movie still comes out. So it's better for me to get a couple $100 than go through Kickstarter and get zero. With this, it's literally just a pre-order campaign. For $12, you get a DVD of The Survivors, which, you know, has some bonus features. For $22, you get a Blu-ray of The Survivors, which will have a couple extra bonus features. I honestly don't know what offhand, but I always put exclusive bonus features on my Blu-rays to justify owning the Blu-rays. And then the next set is kind of the thing that I'm trying to push slightly more, because I think it's cool, and I'm never releasing it after this campaign, is for $50, you get a Blu-ray with all of my movies on it. So you get Wolfster Part 1 and Wolfster Part 2, which is a very old film of mine, but there's some old fans that really like Wolfster. So I took the standard definition original footage, shot on a little handycam, and remastered it to be 720p HD. The best I could. But it turned out pretty okay. Then there's going to be The Slasher Hunter on there, Everyone Must Die, Captain Z, Red Christmas, and of course The Survivors. All in HD for $50. It's a great deal if you don't own my movies yet, or if you've only owned one or only seen one. I think it's a great disc. It's a great collection. I'm going to call it the Hack Collection. Then for $100, you get that, plus you get a special thanks in the credits, because sometimes people like that, so I just offer it.
That's awesome.
There you go.
It works. But mainly, I'm just pushing it as a pre-order thing or for the full Steve Rudzinski collection.
Huh. Yeah. And full disclosure, I own all your movies except for Red Christmas. I think that's the only one I haven't seen by you. But yeah, I did the $50 one just because I wanted all of those on Blu-ray, because I've got all the other ones on DVD, basically. So it's going to be nice having those extra features and all that. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, there you go.
All on one. I could be the ultimate lazy man. Let's go next movie.
Perfect. Yeah, that's the plan. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Of course, dude. Yeah. You know, I'm always up for helping you.
Now, do you go to, like, conventions and stuff, like horror conventions, and, like, try to, like, do you, like, get a booth and try to get people to interested in your movies that way? Do you do that sort of scene?
Absolutely. I will say, though, way less people buy movies these days. Thanks, Netflix. So, I used to do a show in every state. That's not an exaggeration. I used to do a show in every state in this country. I used to do a couple in Canada. And I was traveling like every other week doing conventions, pushing my movies. And literally just less and less people were buying films in general. It wasn't just me. Like, all indie filmmakers, all other guys like me were dealing with the same thing. Like, I used to know 20 guys that did this, and now I know 4. Because all the other ones had to stop doing it completely. So, these days, I mainly just stick to horror realm, because it's a great horror convention that's right in Pittsburgh, which is where I currently live, so I don't have to worry about travel costs. And then once in a while, like once every few years, I will travel to a bigger convention to push my films there to try to get to a new audience.
Texas Frightmare Weekend's pretty badass.
Yeah, it's in Dallas or Fort Worth, basically. Yeah, you should make your way out there.
Perfect. I might run into my ex out there.
Well, shit. They're mine. Well, we had a good time. We went to it this past May, and it was a lot of fun. And speaking of just movies, you know, obviously they're doing screenings and stuff. There was that Wolf. What was the Wolf Cop? What was that one called?
Oh yeah, Wolf Cop.
Yeah, Wolf Cop.
They screened that there, and they have like a bunch of other indies. But we were walking around one day, and some people walked up and just, I guess they saw our press badge. I don't know if they saw our press badges or what, but they literally just handed the three of us their movie.
Oh yeah, I mean,
yeah. Oh, guys, we tried. Oh my God, I tried to watch that movie.
I literally pulled it out of my bag the other day, like the same bag I took with me, that, and I was like, I should actually finish watching this, because we only watched like 10 minutes of it at your house.
Do you know what the movie is?
It's called Pain Shack.
Haven't even heard of that. And
I doubt you have.
No, that means something if I haven't heard of it.
Nope.
I think it was like a two-person movie, and it was more of a, like, we watched the first 10 minutes of it. It was just really conversation. It was kind of like it was one camera setup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so we kind of just, listen, we just kind of.
The cover, the box art was in Sharpie, so.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
They printed it out, but it was they just went and bought a bunch of like cases and then printed out a bunch of
Sharpie.
Yeah.
Well, I won't knock that part because that's how you got to start out anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. On the disc was just a burn disc that had it written on there in Sharpie. You're right.
A couple of my releases have had that back in the day, before, when I didn't have a printer.
Well, if you're just handing them out at a convention,
especially that, yeah. I tried to get Captain Z a screening at Texas Frightmare Weekend this year.
Clearly, that would have been great.
Clearly, they did not accept it.
Oh, their loss.
I agree, because I love Captain Z. I stand by that as being my best film of all time.
It was great. The quality was fantastic. I was late to the party on that one because I was just waiting for like some kind of digital distribution. So I ended up buying the DVD from you, and then I ended up renting it on Google Play for the HD version.
Oh, thank
so,
you.
So like, yeah, it was great. I loved it. I mean, it was hilarious. The guy who played Captain Z, the guy who kind of like he helped you make it, right? I believe. I can't remember his name. It's something
Zoltan Zelai.
There you go. With a name like that, it's hard to forget, I guess. But Zoltan, yeah, he did a great job as Captain Z. So, I mean, it was a really fun movie.
I would hope so. He's been playing Captain Z for decades. Not decades, but for years. Because that is a commercial character for his dad's jewelry store. And then he came to me with a bunch of money and said, hey, I want to make this commercial character into a feature film. I'm going to give you money to write it and direct it. And I said, okay.
All right. I guess.
I loved the Bill Murphy cameo, too.
I know, right? There.
I was here alone in my apartment, and I just yell out Bill Murphy out of nowhere. I'm like, Bill Murphy!
he was originally supposed to die in Captain Z, but we didn't have time to shoot his scene.
Ah, that's
it. It was going to be the scene after Vapar takes Heather from the museum.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to cut to outside. As I'm saving Neil, we cut to outside with Vapar dragging Heather, and Bill Murphy just walks up and says, hey, do you know what time the museum closes? And Vapar just breaks his neck.
Oh man!
But so, we did have time to shoot it. Sorry, guys.
So you've been doing the filmmaking since you were about 16, and I mean your resume is a ton of like you know slasher films. How did the parents take it when you were just like, I'm really interested in all this, and I just want to film bloody, bloody, bloody film movies?
Well,
were they pretty supportive, or were they like sit you down and they're like, listen, Steve, we've got some issues here we just need to discuss.
Well, the first movie I ever saw in my life at the age of 3 was A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Holy nice. Shit.
Does that answer your question?
So they were probably like, yes.
Yeah. My mother was very, very supportive. And the story behind that is that my grandmother, when babysitting me one day, told me, hey, if you go upstairs to go to sleep, the boogeyman is going to kill you.
Oh, wow. Man.
So I didn't want to go upstairs. You know, go figure, because I was 3. So my mother bought A Nightmare on Elm Street, showed me that movie, and then showed me the making of A Nightmare on Elm Street to tell me what make-believe is and that monsters aren't real, which caused 2 things. One, it worked. I, for my whole life, understood what make-believe was, and I was never scared of the dark, stuff like that. 2, I immediately became a huge fan of horror films, and that was my favorite type of movie to watch ever since I was a little Steve Jr.
There you go.
Awesome.
Oh, man. Going back to you and Bill, by the way, you guys have your own podcast as well, right? You talk about movies.
Yes, it's not as cool as the 8-Bit Geek.
Oh, thank you.
Of course not. I'll be the asshole. Of course it's not.
Of course it isn't.
No, your podcast is a piece of dog shit.
Ours is the greatest thing ever made.
But if you're looking for a strictly movie podcast, I would suggest people to check it out. It's called Movie Films with Bill and Steve. You know, you can check out Movie Films with Bill and Steve .tumblr.com, or you can check out the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/moviefilms, you know, with Bill and Steve. You just type that. And then there's a Twitter page that we never use.
Who uses and Twitter? We are
on iTunes. We're free. You can download every episode for free. But in 2020, all the episodes are going to cost $5.99 each. So hop on it now while you can.
There's not a lot of time left. Wagon.
Yeah.
No, man. So anything else you want to pimp out while you're here, man? I mean, really, it's just whatever you want to promote, man. We're here for you.
Well, you know, if anyone is interested in my films, you can go to my website. You can either go to silverspotlightfilms.com, which is all of my features. You know, that's where you can buy all my DVDs, or find links to the Amazon pages or the Amazon Prime, where you can watch Everyone Must Die for free if you're an Amazon Prime member, and I get money. So everyone that has Amazon Prime, just click watch on Everyone Must Die and then leave. I don't even care.
Can we do it multiple times? I'll just have it like
no.
Auto click going on every day.
No, it's per user.
Just once?
Yep.
So even if I like watch the movie, I'm like, man, that was a good movie. I want to watch it again. You only get hit for that one time?
Yep.
Wow. So that's
not
like.
And that's still better than Netflix. Netflix is dog shit for independent filmmakers. You know what Netflix gives any independent movie, whether the budget is like $3,500 or $500,000? $1,000.
Oh, wow.
And that's it. For a whole year. Unlimited views.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's why I stick with Amazon Prime a lot, because even though I only get 10 cents a click, I'm getting 10 cents every single click.
That's true.
You know, it's so. Boy, those payouts kind of suck for you guys. I
mean, oh, yeah, they're
least,
terrible.
At least in the music industry, you get paid for every listen.
Yeah, like a quarter of a penny.
I really do wish that there was a Steam or even like a Pandora for independent films, but I thought that's what Netflix was going to be. I was really excited for Netflix. I was like, sweet, here's this new thing that can bypass the studios, that can bypass this old, out-of-date distribution model, and no, Netflix just does the exact same fucking thing, except
hold,
their Steam.
Hold out hope, because Steam is starting to do films.
Yeah, Steam is starting to do films as well. I wonder if you can get any kind of stuff with that.
Yeah,
well,
you might want to look into that.
On there.
Yeah, if they are doing that, then I will look into that.
Yeah, because I know that they had a sale when Mad Max came out of the game that you could also get Fury Road with it. You could pay like $70 and get the game in the movie. And then
it's still on
they
there.
They did a Steam sale recently, and there was like a movie with like Mark Duplass or whatever his name is from The League. And I remember being like, the fuck is this? Because at first I thought it was a game, because obviously I'm on Steam. That's what I think I'm looking at. And it was like a movie, and it was like $2.99. For just like this like,
and they do, and they did the video game movie. They've done a couple independent films based on video game development and stuff like that. So it's definitely coming along.
Yeah, and like I said, there was a whole bunch of movies on that list, but that was when I looked at it because I saw it had his name on it, and I was like, oh, I like The League. I want to see what he's doing. Thinking it was a game, and then being really surprised that it was like an independent movie.
Well, I'll look into it then. Hopefully, they keep expanding it. It's not, and they don't stick with just video game stuff, because that would be super swell for me.
Yeah, especially for independent filmmakers, for sure.
Yeah, and again, it's because the film distribution, the whole film distribution is outdated as fuck. You know, like, it is not sustainable, it is not what it should be, that's not what we should still be stuck doing today, and that's what we're still stuck doing today.
Yeah. I think someone just needs to come out and knock Netflix on its ass, or give it some competition.
People
right now, Netflix is, you know.
Yeah, people have tried. I mean, again, Indie Rain is honestly a great website that works with the filmmakers, but no one goes to Indie Rain, so it failed. Vimeo is trying to push it better, and Vimeo is definitely doing a better job, but even then, that's, you know, good luck.
See, I always figured Vimeo is more like a YouTube, like a YouTube without as many restrictions.
That's what it started off as, but I'd say in, like, somewhere in the past 5 years, they started to push more strongly towards being, like, a professional filmmaker website to push, like, higher quality videos and stuff like that as opposed to just whatever you want. So I do have a Vimeo page, but I get way less views there, so I just still mainly post to YouTube.
Yeah, that's I know how that goes.
So, yeah.
It's cool, man. I mean, yeah, thanks again for being on this, man. I really hope that everything works out with the survivors. I'm, like I said, I've been watching them for years. I remember you sending me IMs in the middle of the night talking about scripts and stuff, and I'd kind of help you out, you know, just kind of like read them for you. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the survivors is going to be like, man. Seriously.
Well, don't build it up too much. It is just a silly internet thing.
So the survivors had a budget of $45 million. It is scheduled for release.
I would make so many movies with that money. So many movies.
No.
You told me to have a horror recommendation.
Oh,
for
yeah,
Netflix.
Yeah.
This piece of shit application that I also use.
I hate it, but I use it all the time.
Here's the thing.
I
like Netflix. I really do. The problem with Netflix is that it's created this this whole group of people that are that feel like they're entitled to free movies, mm-hmm. that feel like they should just spend $7.99 a month and get infinite entertainment. You know, there's no movie fans anymore. There's just Netflix binges. And mm-hmm. that's what bothers me. You know, I use Netflix. I love Netflix. But when I see a movie that I really, really love, I then go to Amazon.com and then buy the DVD new so the filmmakers get that cut. And not enough people do that. And everyone says, why don't you just put your movie on Netflix? Because I'll make less money than I would via DVD sales, and no one buys the movie if it's on Netflix.
Right.
That's what needs to get fixed. And that's
so
the problem.
More exposure, just no money.
Yeah, and I'd rather have the money. Yeah. That's how I pay my mortgage. That's how I eat, is money, not exposure.
True, true.
But if you do have Netflix and you're looking for a fun horror film, I will say that I'm a big fan of Stage Fright, which is currently on Netflix. It is a musical slasher comedy. Although I will say it's much more of a musical than a slasher. If there's a weak point of the film, is there's not enough killing. but it is a lot of fun. For me personally, it was one of my top five films last year of all movies that came out. However, Bill Murphy thought it was a piece of dog shit. So take that as you will.
Sounds
but
like
it
Bill
may
Murphy
be
is a lot like Kevin.
we've had some pretty similar opinions, I think. Mostly wrestling. So but we've talked, yeah.
I like Bill because he and I agree on a lot, and when we don't agree, we both have very, very good reasons why we have extremely polarizing opinions. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the discussion, we just say, well, I guess it's just how it is because it's all subjective and we never fight. And that's why we're friends.
Yeah. Oh, Bill's awesome. Like I said, I'd hope to run into one of you guys some of these days at a convention or something.
You should.
And when I was still living in Chicago, I didn't realize he was that close. I should have just made a road trip out and forced him to hug me.
He would have hugged you so hard.
Ooh. Someone would have, finally.
Not like my dad ever did. but Steve, no, it was a blast having you on here, man. Thanks again for being here. Like I said, I really hope everything goes well with us. Keep us, anytime you ever want to talk about any new projects or anything like that, obviously you're welcome to come on the show and talk about it. Like I said, if you need any exposure, we're happy to help.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And again, for all those listeners, silverspotlightfilms.com or facebook.com/silverspotlightfilms. You can also email me, darkmullet@gmail.com, and tell me what a piece of shit I am for wanting money.
That's awesome.
Doing that now?
From notdoug@gmail.com.
Seriously, I get that shit a lot and it pisses me off. I've posted on forums of people that just straight up say, why don't you just post this free on YouTube? Go fuck yourself, Mega 60 forums. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I've fallen off of there. Yeah. Oh, good times. Awesome, well, cool. Dude. I guess that's our episode there. We're going to let it off with a good note. Jeremy, got anything left to say?
We didn't really cover his side movies that from Comic Cons in the hotel rooms that he's made. So I just thought maybe we'd dive into that a little bit, but I mean,
okay, no, it's really easy. It's fantastic. Okay. Here's what you do. Be handsome.
Uh-huh. Got that covered.
I'm already out of this one.
Be physically fit.
Don't got that.
Wear spandex.
I could still do that.
Okay. Don't be awkward, but also like, don't come on to any women. Just,
okay.
Like,
I'm going to try this out. Hold on. Give me a second. Oh, no. I'm in the Spider-Man outfit. I'm looking so good and fit. And then I go, you want to get some web on your face?
Oh, Jesus.
No, Jesus. No, here's what you do. You look a girl right in the eyes.
Okay.
You look a girl right in the eyes and you say, I like your boobs. Oh. There are two of them. Boom. Pussy.
Damn. In most cases, there's two.
No, seriously. I have no advice. I've had friends straight up ask me, like, how do you have sex with women the first day you meet them? And I just look at them and go, I don't know. I just talked about Power Rangers a bunch. And then had their tongues in my mouth. I don't fucking know. It's... one time a girl told me, I asked her just like, why did you have sex with me? Because there's a lot of reasons why you wouldn't. And it was straight up just like, I used her name. I cared about what she did as a person. And I did not mind that she was also giving me a lot of attention because there's apparently a lot of guys that get annoyed with that.
Huh.
And that was enough.
Huh. Huh. Well, I'm going to try that this next Comic Con. Boobs.
That's all it
Jeremy
takes.
Learned something.
Seriously, every convention, I'm just pushing them off me.
Awesome. Well, it was good having you, man. Thanks for coming on and putting up with us. And hopefully our 10 fans will go check out everything that you That you do?
Hey, we've upped it over 12 over the weekend.
Oh, is it 12 now? Okay, good.
Please, guys, you know, even if I just get 12 more views on the Slasher Hunter or on Super Task Force on my YouTube page, or if one person, you know, pre-orders the Survivors, or one person buys that Blu-ray with all my movies, or even if you just go to Amazon and buy one of my films on there, or watch one of my films on Amazon Streaming or Prime, that'd be super swell.
Yeah, did you mention your YouTube? Like, what's your YouTube address?
I don't know offhand.
Okay. Just look up Super Task Force 1. Or...
I changed my name, you know, on it to my real name, so I don't know what the URL is anymore. Mm. So, I mean, if you literally just search for Steve Rzinski, you'd probably find my page.
Awesome. Nice. There you go. So, yeah, definitely make sure you check that out, folks, peoples, all those peoples. Doug, you got anything to say?
No, we're good.
All right,
I'm hungry. I gotta get out of here.
it's really late, guys. We've been doing this for like 4 hours.
4 hours. Really going the distance here. All right, take care, guys. Bye.
Bye.